Welcome to another podcast from Air Insight, LLC.
Today is March the 20th, and the Air Insight team is back today to discuss the 787 delay, which is probably going to be announced soon. On the call today is Ernie Arvai, Scott Hamilton, and Addison Schoenland. Ernie, perhaps you'd like to kick off with some thoughts on the news that came out yesterday.
Well, I think the news that the Dreamliner needs a new wing box is at least another 6 month delay, if not a 9 month to a 1 year delay, depending on how quickly they can integrate things with their suppliers overseas. That's not a pretty story, as we're now getting to the point where the 787 looks a lot like the A380, with rolling delays that will cause customers to demand compensation. And I think there's a fairly significant financial risk to Boeing here with another six-month delay on top of the two previous delays.
And to get a view on what is going on with the wing box, we managed to reach out to John Ostrower, who's just put something up on his flight blogger site. John, what exactly was Mr. Udvar-Hazy alluding to, and what have you found out about the wing box issue?
Well, the one thing that Mr. Hazy really hit upon in terms of his teaser statement was that the center wing box does need to be redesigned. The cause of the redesign is one primary reason right now that we know of. When the center wing box was first designed, it was designed with all the proper tolerances for the internal structural spars. However, as weight became an issue on the aircraft, the center wing box was redesigned, and the spars were actually reduced in width to save weight. Subsequently, the center wing boxes were produced, and in about the middle of last summer, there was some testing done on the internal composite spars. They were found that they were too brittle based on the width that they had been designed at and could prematurely buckle under the right conditions. Boeing is instituting an interim fix for the current stock of wing boxes, which there are six right now undergoing assembly operations. There are two test frames and four airframes. Two of those airframes are Dreamliner 1 and 2, which are undergoing final assembly in Everett. Boeing will be buttressing the center wing box spars with both composite and aluminum stiffeners to build back into the system the appropriate structural integrity that needed to be there in the first place. As a result, any weight savings that were intended on the first go-around are now being negated by this additional fix.
Now, John, if they're going to go back to Dreamliner 1, which is basically assembled, how are they going to get into the wing box?
The wing box is accessible from what I understand, the fix is done by being underneath where the wing-to-body fairing would be fitted. And I believe you can gain access that way, as well as through the upper structure coming down on the
from the inside.
So I don't believe that there are any specific issues in terms of getting access to making those fixes.
Any thoughts on how much time it's going to take to redo everything?
Well, I think that has yet to be seen. I have not heard yet what specifically the timelines look like for incorporating these fixes. You know, the parts have arrived in Everett, so clearly Boeing is out ahead of this issue. Obviously, we're just hearing about it in a public forum in this regard. But really, there are a lot of questions that this raises in terms of the certification process and potentially non-conforming wing boxes. Asking the question of what is the impact of that on certification for the production models. So that definitely answers a new question in terms of this story.
Well, Scott, what could be the problem that he was alluding to? What would be the issue? What various issues are there with a wing box that could elicit such a comment?
Well, I'm getting indications that it is more of a fit issue than it is a structural issue. But I want to caution everybody when I say that it's strictly indications. And there's nothing definitive in that, so we just have to be really careful about what we conclude here.
So what do we know at this stage about the wing box?
Really not a heck of a lot. We know that Hazy has pointed his finger at it. We know that Boeing has broadly said redesigns come up in new airplane programs, which is generally true. And that's about all we do know at this stage.
If, in fact, this is the case that the wing box needs to be redesigned, how does that impact the rest of the program if the certified model is not the one that actually gets sold to a customer?
Well, Joe Nadel from J.P. Morgan, which is the conference that Steve Hazy made these remarks at, noted that apparently there was more said at the conference than was reported in the press. And Joe reported that the first seven airplanes would have to be modified, but from the production airplane number eight, apparently, going forward, the design issue would not be part of what the problem is.
What other problems are there with the factory? I guess the procedures of moving those airplanes through the factory right now. Is the traveled work still a problem?
Well, is it a problem? It's still there. I don't know if it rises to the level of being a problem, but you still have some traveled work. You still have some open jobs. Fasteners are still a bit of an issue. But I think at this point, we really need to wait for Boeing to come out with its program update, which they're now saying is going to be after the first of the month, and find out just exactly what it is that they have to say about all this. Ernie, what are your additional thoughts?
I think the fundamental result is that, A, Boeing has lost its credibility entirely with this program if they announce another delay, which seems inevitable at this point, even if it's a relatively minor redesign of the wing box. They've certainly got some issues in terms of getting those airplanes certified and then modified later. So at least the first seven airplanes will be delayed further, which can't go over well with ANA and the other launch customers. Second, compensation, if it wasn't already on the table as an issue, will rise even further with some of the airlines with any further delay, which will certainly cause a cash outflow. And third, the profitability of the program has begun to erode as these creeping additional costs, reworks, redesigns have all added cost along with the time of keeping all those people busy during the delays. So you're looking at a program that's was once very profitable in terms of Boeing's outlook that is now becoming not quite so profitable. So I think those things don't bode well for Boeing stock in the near future.
Well, certainly the break-even point is going to stretch out quite a bit. One element of this whole situation that really hasn't gotten a lot of attention is what does this mean to the production ramp-up? You might recall under the original schedule of a May 08 delivery date, the plan was to have 112 airplanes delivered within the next 18 months or by the end of 2009. And what that meant was that the program would start off with a production rate of about 3 a month, and it would ramp up to about 10 a month by the end of 2009. Boeing actually did make a public statement that they expected 10 a month by the end of 2009. With all of these production issues and industrial supplier issues, the fundamental question remains that once they actually do start getting these airplanes delivered, whenever that is, how quickly are they going to be able to ramp up, or is there going to be a stretching out of the ramping up that means that there will just be this ripple effect that will be happening for years until they get up to the 10 a month or the 14 a month that they ultimately hope to get to, or 16 as the case may be. And nobody's really focused in on that. Nobody's asked that question. And quite frankly, I doubt that if Boeing has the remotest idea on that one at this time.
I think that's a difficult one to project. But my feeling is that there have already been some problems with the global logistics and the teamwork process. This is Boeing's first foray into that venture. And I think they would be prudent by going slowly and maintaining that slower ramp up. So I wouldn't expect now to see them get to the 10 a month before 2010. And that means that backlog is just going to continue to grow. And that could also present some problems for them in the marketplace and give the A350 a a new lease on life.
Well, let's also remember that two models of the A350 are really more across the 777 than they are the 787. In fact, the first model, the -900 of the A350, will be the first one entered into service. The A350-800, which is the only model that's across from the 787, actually follows the A350-900.
But if the delays are such that someone contemplating an order today would say, gee, it looks like it's going to be about even by the time I could get one, you've then lost any early advantage for the 787 program.
Well, and let's also remember, too, that the A350 is sold out for 2 or 3 years already. So it's going to be interesting. The conference call that Boeing will have for a program update after the first of the month will be extremely interesting. And then the earnings call, which comes toward the end of April, will also be very interesting. I expect that the Wall Street analysts are going to be pretty tough on both calls.
I would tend to concur.
And that summarizes our view on the news about a pending 787 delay. That's it from the Air Insight team.
This podcast is copyrighted by Air Insight LLC.